But it's something. So anyway, went back to Philip. Whenever I told his mother, I said, now don't you doubt, because if the devil, and he will, he'll come in. I don't really believe just because this old man did this that these warts are going to go away. I said, he'll do everything he can to deceive you. I said, but the minute the thought comes, you grab the book, you don't entertain the thought at all. You grab the Word of God, you open it up, and you read to the devil the promise that Jesus made in Matthew 18:19. And he said, devil, look at this. This is what Jesus said, so I'm going to believe Jesus and not you. Now see, this is part of fighting the fight of faith. So anyway, the next morning when Mother goes in there at 7 o'clock and those warts were on the boy's fingers that were already gone, and it was real easy for them to stay in faith, because once you begin to see your miracle and you begin to lock onto sense, knowledge, faith, and I want you to know I talk about those things very in detail on those two faiths, those two tapes on the kinds of faith. Once you lock onto sense, knowledge, faith, it's very easy when you see your miracle beginning to happen, it's easy to stay in faith because you're seeing it with your eyes and you're feeling it with your body. Well, she was seeing this now, and after 3 weeks, when that mother came to Sunday school that morning, walked into church and with Philip, and she said, Thurman, come over here and feel. She was so excited. She said, come over and feel Philip's hands. Said, those hands that felt like cordwood, would you look what Jesus has done? There's not one single wart left on Philip's body that third Sunday. I said, Lord, we praise the Lord. But I said, now, whatever you do, she said, the only thing's left, those two great big scars. I said, whatever you do, don't stop believing. Only believe if you have no doubt. The scars will go away too. Now, this is where you really begin to separate men and women that believe God from those that just go to church. But guess what happened? Because of our great faith, the next Sunday morning when that mama walked in with little Philip, 11-year-old boy, guess what was not on his hands? No scars. They was gone. The God we serve, He only meets us where our faith is, folks. So if you don't have faith, guess what you can't get from the King? Nothing. But if you got faith, which is the Word, knowledge of the Word, and you're believing Him, and you're being obedient, and you're doing what the King says do, when He comes to you, or when you come to Him and ask Him for something, guess what He'll give you? Anything you ask Him for. Anything. And that's what's so awesome. He is so awesome. Okay, now then, let's go on here. And we had just read there in Psalms 29:2, give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Worship Him. Let me just ask you the question. I don't think we're taught how to do this. You know, we come to church, and we spent 30 minutes a while ago worshiping and praising the Lord. And that's great. But did you know some people, that's all they ever do? Outside of right here in this sanctuary, they will never worship the Lord. Well, let me tell you. He's still in you and with you when you go home tonight. Just like if you come home on Saturday night and you told your wife how much you loved her and everything, that's good. But what if you didn't come home anymore till next Saturday night? She might say, well, this guy told me he loved me, but does he really mean that? I mean, it looked like if he really loved me, he'd come home every night. Doesn't it, Lou? You'd think so, right? See, so guess what? If you don't bow down and worship the King every day, guess what? He might begin to think that you don't do no more. Maybe you don't love me no more. And if you're not loving Him no more, guess who might come by your house one day and you're not worshiping and praising the Lord, and half the things that comes out of your mouth are negative, and he walks into your house and he says, oh boy, I'm going to have a heyday in this house today. I'm going to come in here and make a couple of people sick. You know, I'm going to break their car. All kinds of things. He can do that. And He'll do it to you. I guarantee you, because He's out there. And we've not done a very good job in our churches of teaching who the devil is and what he does. But let me tell you, He's out there. And He come to kill, steal, and to destroy. And He's doing a good job in the church. If you don't believe it, you just take the number of people in here today. It's got some kind of an affliction or whatever. And you realize what the devil's doing just in the church. Now then, after you learn all these things, how to worship, praise, and do all these things, you must be absolutely sure of your faith, or your faith will not work. You must have faith. If you don't have faith, forget it. God is not going to do anything. So you come down there and the preacher says, you got to have faith, you can't do nothing. Well, yeah, the preacher, he told me today I got to have faith, but he didn't tell me how to get it. He didn't tell me what I had to do to get it. Well, I've learned, I've got to teach you these things. Now then, I want you to turn to Mark 5, and we're going to start in verse 25. Mark 5, 25. And I want to show you what got this person well. Now, this was a little woman. Many of us are going to know this scripture extremely well. But Mark 5, starting with verse 25, said, now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years. How long had that poor little gal been sick? 12 long years. Man. And had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. Now, what was that woman's first problem? How many of you know people in the church today that have been sick for many years, had suffered many things, had gone to every great physician in the country, had spent all the money they had and all the insurance money they had, and they ain't never going to get all the bills paid, and they're not only not better, they're worse. You know anybody in a church like that? Unfortunately, well, here's another one right here. So this, she's no exception, you're no exception. Now then, let's see what this woman did. After this, and she grew worse, when she heard about Jesus. Now, what do you think that she heard that was happening when Jesus showed up? Miracles. He's the healer. I mean, now then, if you go to a church where they don't teach that Jesus is the Savior, if you need somebody to get saved, are you going to take them down there and let your pastor pray for them and try to show them if he don't believe in salvation? No. So if we don't teach healing, we don't teach authority over the devil, we don't teach we're supposed to tithe, if we don't teach the power that the Word teaches, so why do you think most Christians don't show up in church on Sunday? I mean, it's just a social club. It don't do no good for me. Because if it changed your life, you'd be here. Wouldn't you, Luke? It'd change your life. You'd be here. So this woman heard about Jesus. She came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. Look what she did. For she said. Now, how important is what comes out of your mouth, Jeff? For she said, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made whole. Now, what's the first thing you got to do? You got to say what you want with your mouth. You are sick and afflicted because of your mouth. You're living where you are because of your tongue. You have said the wrong things in life. Every one of us lives in a world that we created with our tongue. If the Lord could run a video or an audio tape back and let you listen to every word you'd said in your life, you'll find people that were raising their children up. Just like I walked into the grocery store the other day and a woman there. I don't have a clue if she's a Christian or what. This little kid wasn't 2-3 years old in the basket. Reached over to grab something. How many of you know that that's normal for a kid 2 or 3 years old? He's living in a new world. He sees something that looks pretty. He wants to look at it, right? She runs over there. She slaps him on the hands. He said, you little dummy, you leave that stuff alone. You ever heard a mother say that to their children? What did she just speak to that child?
She cursed him.
She just cursed him. She spoke a curse over her child. Just like when I used to minister in the prisons, first time a guy made a statement to me, he said, my mother got what she always said. I said, what do you mean, son? My mother always said, I'd never amount to nothing. If I didn't quit doing these stupid things I was doing, by the time I was 18 years old, I'd be in prison for life. And she said, everything my mother said happened to me. Now, who was the problem? The mother. Now, if she had been praying and saying, oh, God, I worship you that your strength is sufficient to make my son the most awesome man of God that ever walked on this earth. I worship you, Lord, and thank you that he's awesome. I know with you nothing's impossible. So I want to thank you and praise you that my son is an awesome man of God, and you're going to use him greatly. Yeah, he's making a few mistakes. The devil's out there trying his best. But God, I know with you nothing's impossible. And that son of mine's going to be an awesome man of God, and he's going to do anything and everything you've got for him on this earth. And would that boy ever went to prison? No. He'd have been an awesome man of God, because his mother would have spoke a blessing over him instead of a curse. Most of you, just like I used to be, you wake up in the morning, you got a headache or a pain or whatever, or you're over 50 years old and you wake up and you got a pain in your hand, and you say, oh my goodness, I'm over 50, I must be getting arthritis. You just spoke a curse over yourself. Just spoke a curse. Guess who was there putting that pain on you? The devil. If you'd have said what the word said, you'd have said, oh, Lord, thank you that you bore my pain on the cross. Thank you, Lord, that you healed me on the cross 2,000 years ago. Lord, I worship you and praise you, and begin to quote the word to the devil. And in a few minutes, all your symptoms goes away. Either that or James 4:7 lied. James 4:7 clearly says, if you submit yourself to God and you resist the devil with it is written, he will flee from you. Isn't that amazing? Every one of us read that but didn't realize what it meant. Isn't it amazing? So, she said, if I only touch his clothes, I shall be made whole. And immediately, when she touched him in faith, what happened? Next week? Next month? Immediately, the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around to the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? Isn't that amazing? Somebody touched the king in faith, and he didn't even know who it was. But he knew the power went out of him. He turned to see who had touched him. And look what he says. His disciples said to him, you see the multitudes thronging you, and you ask, who touched me? Can you imagine Jesus with all the power that flows out of him, walking somewhere, and people are thronged around him? Everybody's wanting to touch him. But guess what? There's one little woman touched him in faith. There's a big difference of touching the king. If you don't touch him in faith, guess what happens? No. Nothing. That's exactly right, sir. Nothing. And he looked around to see who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him, told him the whole truth. And he said to her, daughter, my faith has made you well. Oh, I didn't read that right again. You guys are too smart for me. Y'all, what did your Bible say? Whose faith made her well? Her faith made her well. Now, whose faith is it that's going to make you well? Your faith, that's right. And how does faith come? By hearing the word of God, because that's found in Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And Jesus said, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. Your faith has made you well. Now look at Matthew 9:27-30. Matthew 9:27. Now this is the scripture I quoted to this gentleman over here earlier, and to this young lady sitting right here when we were talking about Mark 9:23 and Matthew 9:27, Matthew 9:29. That's when I told you that the first scripture you quoted in Mark 9:23 was actually in Matthew 9:29. Right. We had those two verses, but you had those two reversed. Right. But anyway, in Matthew 9:27 said, when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, thou son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came into him, and Jesus saith unto them, believe you that I am able to do this? And they said unto him, if it be your will, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Oh, again, I misread the word. How many times have you been to church when somebody said, we're going to pray for you, and say, if it be God's will, we ask him to heal this person? And you don't see many miracles in your church with that word, if, do you? No, you don't.
Where does that come from, if it be that will? It's the Lord's prayer, isn't it?
I can tell you where that comes from. It comes from the enemy. I mean, who do you think would want you to put if the Word of God says that you have to pray? In other words, this is what the Lord said. My word is forever settled in heaven. It cannot be changed. It cannot be, I mean, it's forever settled in heaven. And I cannot do anything exactly except what's written in my word. And so if he said, when you come to me and you ask me for something, you must believe that you have received what you asked me for with no doubt whatsoever, or it will not work for you. Yes, ma'am.
Our preacher, he says that every Sunday.
What?
When he's praying, when we have a time of prayer request, he asks us, and he says, if it be the Lord's will.
Okay, and like what? For what? For healing?
For healing, yeah.
How many times have you seen people healed?
Never.
Oh, okay. And the thing about it is, if you're in a church and you're not seeing any miracles, you're not seeing any healings, you're not seeing anything, let me tell you, in your church, it's not being done right. I'm going to tell you, it's not being done right. Because before this day is over, I'm going to have at least two or three people that's going to come up here that are here today that have received a tremendous miracle from the Lord just in the last few months or last few weeks. There are some here that have received tremendous miracles. So, and if they will come forward and give that testimony. But let me tell you, I see God do miracles on a daily basis. Don't we, Gary? Sure we do. We see God do miracles on a daily basis. If I see God do things on a daily basis the way I teach the word, and your pastor prays, if it be your will, and you never see a healing in your church, one of us must be wrong. You agree with that? So if you must believe with no doubt in your heart, and somebody comes up for healing, and a pastor prays for them, say, if it be your will, God heal them, and you never see a healing, so why have a healing service? I mean, is that, you agree with that, young lady? Well, now, if you're seeing people get healed, then you got to be doing something right. Right?
Right.
So it's according to our faith. Yes, ma'am. Well, the thing about it is, young lady, as a young lady that's not very knowledgeable in the Word, I wouldn't go to my pastor and try to correct him. You know, I wouldn't. But if you learn the Word, if you'll listen to enough of these tapes and you'll learn the Word and you'll get it in your heart, then you can take the Word. And see, I've learned a long time ago, I have so many people, and it's unfortunate that even in my Baptist church, and I'm a Southern Baptist deacon, that I have so many people in my denomination that don't believe God's word. And I've had many of them say, Thurman, why do these miracles follow you? And I said, because I teach the word. Well, no, I teach the word too. I said, well, are you seeing miracles? Well, no. Well, see, that's just like, I'll just give the guy's first name, Brother Dale. He came to our church 4 years ago, I guess, to preach a revival. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday night, 5 services. And Sunday morning when I walked in and I opened our bulletin, and the text for today's message is John 14:12. Whoa, I said, glory to God, we got a Holy Ghost filled preacher here. I mean, a Baptist preacher. Anybody know what John 14:12 says? Listen to this. I tell you the truth. Isn't that awesome? The king that can't lie has to tell us, I tell you the truth. To anybody that believes in me, not only shall you do what I have been doing, but greater things than these that I've done shall you do in my name. What kind of an awesome promise is that, young lady? He read that verse, and then this is what came out of his mouth. Where has this power gone in the church? Because it's obvious we don't see this kind of miracles in our church. So he had a normal 20 or 30 minute sermon that morning, and we dismissed, and I was sitting on the front row. And so I waited till everybody went out. And after everybody went out, I walked to the back and I said, Brother Dale, I'll tell you where that power is at. He said, where is it? I said, I got it. It's right here. It's in me. He said, what are you talking about? I said, let me tell you about a man in this church that was miraculously healed when I laid hands on him. He said, what are you talking about? I said, let me give you his name and let me tell you what happened. And when I told him what happened, guess what came out of his mouth? Thurman, that's unbelievable. I said, go ask him. He goes to church here. He was here tonight. Or this morning. Sunday night, I came back and we walked down. I said, Brother Dale, let me tell you about another miracle that happened in this church. And I said, the lady goes to church right here. Her name is so-and-so. This is what happened. Thurman, that's unbelievable. I said, go ask her. Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, same thing. Wednesday night, when I told him the fifth miracle that happened just to people in that church where I go to church, the fifth time, he said, Thurman, these miracles you talk about are unbelievable. I said, Brother Dale, I'm going to tell you where your problem's at. He said, where? I said, your unbelief. You don't believe the God that you preach about. I said, that's where the power's gone. You don't believe the Word. I said, I have in the last five messages that I've been sitting here, I, as a Southern Baptist deacon, a man of God, have told you five miracles that happened to five people that go to this church that's been here, and you would not even take the initiative to go ask them if these things really happened to them because you didn't believe them. I said, I'm going to tell you where the power's gone. He said, these signs shall follow those that believe. And you are an unbelieving believer. That's where we are. So what is wrong with us? I don't know about you, but I serve a God that's a God of miracles. I serve a God that can make a leg grow out. I can serve a God that can put a new lung in your chest. I serve a God that can put new arms on you. I serve a God that can raise the dead. That's the Jesus I serve. His name is Jesus, and He's sitting on His throne in heaven. Is that the same Jesus that I serve that you serve?
Yes.
I hope so. Because if He is, He can do these things. But look what He done for this little woman. And according to whose faith did it happen? Hers. Now then, whenever He touched these people's eyes here in Matthew 9:29, whenever these men come in and said, Lord, they said unto Him, when He said, believe you that I am able to do this, they said unto Him, yes, Lord. Now, if you come to the Lord and ask Him, you come to Him and say, Lord, will you heal my body? He said, do you believe I can do this for you? Well, Lord, if it be your will, maybe you can. I'm not too sure. Now, if He's a faith God and nothing but faith moves His hand, and if you draw back from faith and He's not pleased with you and He makes you a promise and tells you He will, and you say, Lord, I'm not sure you mean what you're saying, guess what you're going to get from the King? That's what He said in James 1:6-7. He said, nothing. I won't do nothing for you. That's what He said. He's a faith God. So you have to believe Him. Now, if you believe Him and you're walking holy before Him and you believe what He says, guess what you can do? Wow. It's awesome what you can see the King do. It's easy for me to tell you these things because I've got so many stories to go along with them. You know, I mean, it's awesome to see these people. But here again, then He touched their eyes saying, according to whose faith?
Your faith.
Your faith be it unto you. So who's going to have faith for your healing? You are. You're going to have to believe the King. Now then, in Matthew 8:5-13, let's go over there. Matthew 8:5-13, He says, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done. Now this is the scripture that I'm going to get down to you in a minute. But in Matthew 8:5, it says, and when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto Him a centurion beseeching Him. A centurion? Is that a Christian? No, this guy's a Gentile. He just heard about Jesus. And saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. How many of you know that cerebral palsy is a tormenting spirit? It is. Everything's a demon. Oh, do you think God made people like that? No, God didn't do that. The devil did that. These kind of things didn't come from God. They come from the devil. We're fighting against a beast that come to make us sick and afflict us and has the ability to go inside of a woman's womb and mess up a child while it's being developed in there and cause that child to be born with heart out of size, intestines in the wrong place, have no arms or whatever, knots on her body or all kinds of things. But I'm telling you, that didn't come from God. That come from the devil.
Amen.
He can do that. And if you give Him legal right, He will do that to you and your kids and your grandkids. All you got to do is give Him legal right. All you got to do is break the laws of God, and He's going to be there. And He's going to torment you, and a devastating statement in the Word of God. It says, do you not know that the sins of the fathers will be passed to the children 3 and 4 generations into the future? And do you know any child born out of wedlock that is a bastard? That child and his family will not be allowed in the congregation for 10 generations. What do you think God thinks about somebody that goes out and produces a child out of wedlock? In the Old Testament, you were in big trouble. But in the New Testament, you can break that curse and you can get set free. That's what Jesus came for. Bless God. You can be anybody. You can be that kid that was born out of wedlock. And you can have the devil have legal right to you. And I can bring the Word of God to you, and I can show you who you are and what our Savior did for us on the cross. And we can take our mouths and the Word of God, and we can break that curse, and you can become a Spirit-filled, born-again son or daughter of the King of the universe as clean as any other son or daughter of the King of the universe. That's what's so awesome. We couldn't do that until Jesus came. Oh, when Jesus came. And I think about 2,000 years ago what our King was doing today. Our King was laying in the pit of hell in Psalms 88, in the lowest hell, paying the price that you and me was never going to be able to pay. He was paying that. Glory to God. So that He could defeat the devil, so He could come forth, so today you and I could walk without sin, so we could walk healed and delivered. And that devil's done a good job on us, lying to us. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. What kind of faith does that man have? That's awesome. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goes. And I say to this man, come, and he comes. And to this servant, do this, and he doeth it. And when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed him, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. Just think of this man. This man being a Roman soldier, this man knowing his authority over the men that worked for him, he knew and already realized that Jesus was the King of the universe come in flesh, and when he spoke, the demons of hell had to do what he said. He realized already that his servant that was sick of the palsy had a demon. And he just knew that if the Lord, he don't have to go over and lay his hands on that boy. Then demons are subject to Jesus. All he had to do was speak the word, and that demon would have to leave, and his servant would be healed. And when he said that, Jesus said, I have not seen such faith in me in all of Israel. He said, go. It shall be done to you as you believe. What did he say there? As he went on down, of course, he reads some things there. I'll skip that. Get on down to verse 13. And he said, Jesus said unto the Syrian, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. Who was it believed that? Who was it that believed that that boy could be healed? The man, his boss, the guy that worked for him. Do you believe that you could stand in the gap for another human being and get that person healed? Sure you can. But I'll tell you what, when you get them healed, you better go get to them and teach them and tell them what you've done. Because if they don't begin to fill their house with the Word of God, guess what that demon that left when you prayed for them and they got healed, if they continue to live like they've been living, in a little while when that demon goes out through dry places, just like Matthew 12 says, and he's looking for another house and he don't find another house he can go in, he's going to come back to the house in which he left and he says, oh, this house is still swept and cleaned. It's empty. They hadn't put anything in it. And he goes out there and gets 7 of his more wicked friends and himself, all kinds of other sickness and disease, not only palsy, but now he gets cancer. Now he gets lupus. He gets all these other friends, and he brings them all in, and they all go back in that man's house. And it says that man's house, his second state, was worse than the first. So when you pray for somebody and you get them healed, you better not stop right there. You better tell them they got to start doing what God says. They got to start worshiping the King, going to church, serving the Lord, tithing. Did you know tithing is the only thing the Lord says in His Word anywhere that'll not only curse you with a curse or curse you, but it'll curse you with a curse. Did you realize in Malachi chapter 3, the Lord says in all these other curses, He said, if you commit adultery, I'll curse you. If you have sex with an animal, I'll curse you. If you still move your neighbor's boundary line, I'll curse you. But he said, if you won't give me the first tenth of all of your increase, I will curse you with a curse. And then he says, but put me to the test, folks. Try me. You repent of your sins, and you start bringing me the first tenth of all your increase into my house, in the church, and you give it to me, and you see if I won't open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing upon you that you cannot contain. Now, which way you like it? I think that's pretty easy, isn't it? I'll tell you a little story here right quick about a young man 6 or 7 or 8 years ago. Came out to my house. I asked him to come out there and do a little job for me. I just couldn't seem to get time to do this little job at my farm. And I asked him to come out there, and he looked at it and he said, yes, sir, I can fix that for you for $300. I said, okay, that's good. I said, by the way, son, are you a Christian? He said, yes, sir. He wasn't too sure, but yes, sir. I said, where do you go to church? He said, I'm a Baptist. And I said, well, what church do you go to? He said, I go to First Baptist. I said, First Baptist where? He said, in Justin. I said, well, son, I go there every Sunday to about 3 times a week. Or, you know, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. And I ain't never seen you. I said, when do you go? He said, well, I only been twice. And I said, so why did you not keep going back? He said, well, your preacher kind of preaches hellfire and brimstone. And I thought, boy, you must have been on Sunday when I wasn't there, because I never heard him say that. But I said, is there anything else you don't like? He said, yeah, I don't like it when they pass the offering plate. I said, oh, let me ask you how your business is going, son. He said, well, it ain't going too good. I said, I wouldn't have expected anything else because you're under a curse. In fact, you're cursed with a curse. I said, but son, let me tell you something. God, that's the only place in the Word I found where he said, put me to the test. I said, I'll tell you what I'll do. If you'll make God a promise and tell him you'll be in church in the morning and you'll start tithing and start doing everything the Lord tells you, I'm going to guarantee you on the Word of the living God, your business is going to flourish in the next year like you've never seen it in your life. He said, you really think so? I said, no, sir. I know so, because it's written in this book. I know it will. I said, if you want to keep living under the curses, I said, you see this house I live in here? He said, yeah, it's a beautiful home. I said, yeah, 2-story, paid for, never borrowed a penny to build this house. It did take me 3.5 years, me and my wife and kids built it ourselves. But I said, we paid for it, we saved the money. And I said, you see this farm out here? He said, yes, sir. I said, you see that big shop over 40 by 110? Yes, sir. I said, you see all them trucks sitting out there and that combine? And all that equipment, all them tractors and backhoes and everything? He said, yes, sir. I said, don't owe a penny on none of them. All of them's paid for. I said, now then, son, you want to be like me in 30 years or like you in 30 years? He said, I want to be like you in 30 years. I said, then you're going to have to do what I did. He said, what's that? I said, you're going to have to go to church. You're going to have to serve God. You're going to have to tithe. You're going to have to do everything the King told you to do in his word. And if you'll do it like I did it, I guarantee he's no respecter of persons. He'll do the same thing for you he did for me. So that boy got in his car and drove off. And the devil said, boy, you were so hard on him, he won't never be back to church ever. I said, devil, you might as well give up on me. I said, you've lost this battle. I told that boy exactly what the King said. And the Lord says, my word shall never return to me void. I said, devil, you got to me too late, so get out. So Sunday morning, I go to church, and guess who walks in? Boy's name was Mark. Well, saw him in Sunday school, saw his wife, saw his little daughter. Oh, that's nice. And so that afternoon, they were back. But next Wednesday night when Mark was there, I was impressed, because only dedicated Christians, only crazy Christians come to church on Wednesday night. I mean, only people that really love Jesus come to church on Wednesday night. Now there's a lot of them coming to church on Sunday morning for fire insurance, but I mean, real ones come to church on Sunday night and Wednesday night. That's how you can tell the difference. That's the people that's fanatics for Jesus. You know, so anyway, I thought this guy's really something, the Lord really done something in his life. So about 2 or 3 weeks goes by, and his wife come to my Sunday school class. She said, "Sir, I don't know what you said to my husband." But said he come home that night, and he said, "I met a guy, told me some things." And he said, "I tell you what, how much money do we make this week, honey?" She said, "Well, we've been married 7 years." And she said, "This week we made $110 after we paid everything. We had $110. He said, "Write a check for $11 in the morning. We're going to church." She said, "I like to pass out." She said, "I've tried to just let him give me a dollar to give to church." And he said, "No, I ain't giving that preacher my money." So she said, "When he told me that, I like to pass out." But she said, "I wrote that check for $11. She said, "This last week we had a little more money." And she said, "Again, he said, give the Lord 10% of it." 6 weeks later, that little girl come to me. She said, "Mr. Scrivener, I got to tell you something." She said, "In our 7 years we've been married, this Saturday, we paid all of our bills, everything we had to pay. We took 10% off of the top of our company money that we owed the Lord, that was His, off of our increase, and said, for the first time in 7 years, we had money left over." In 6 weeks, the first time in 7 years they'd ever done that. And about 2 or 3 Sundays after that, I walk into church, I'm walking down that aisle, and here's a woman sitting on the outside aisle, and she jumps up and grabs me and begins to hug me and says, "Sir, I am so..." I said, "Ma'am, what are you doing?" She said, "I have prayed for you." I said, "Me, ma'am, I don't even know you." She said, "No, and I don't know you. But I have prayed for God to send a man to my son-in-law's house that would get him on fire for Jesus." And she said, "You've done it." She said, "He's in church, and my granddaughter and my daughter have been more blessed and said things are better in their home than they've ever been." And she said, "I just want to tell you, I love you." And she never even saw me. So anyway, 2 years come and go. Mark come to me and he said, "I am so glad I met you. I'm so glad that you told me the truth. Because in the last 2 years, I have added 2 people to my company." He said, "I have saved enough money to make a down payment on a nice home. And I have bought my wife a nice car and paid cash for it." He said, "We've come a long ways in 2 years." And I said, "And you know why, don't you, Mark?" He said, "Because we've been obedient to the King." Now, let me tell that couple that never come to church, every Sunday morning I saw Mark and his wife and his daughter. Every Sunday night I saw them, and every Wednesday night I saw them. And every week he gave at least 10% of his income to the Lord in that church. And guess what happened to him? He was blessed. Well, so what is it we don't understand when the Lord says, "If you will do exactly what I tell you to do in this word, I will bless you"? Now, which way is the best way to do it? Proactive? I think so. But when we don't do it proactive, we go about doing it our way. And when we do it our way, the devil comes by our house and he knocks our feet out from under us and he steals from us. He lies from us. He steals our kids. We get our kids on drugs and alcohol, or we get out and get involved in every kind of thing that's wrong or sin. And we wonder why we die. We get into sickness and disease and all kinds of things in the church. And we wonder why bad things happen to good people. Well, I got the answer. I can tell you. It's all in the Word. All you got to do is believe it and come to God in faith. So, and in Matthew 8:13, "And Jesus said unto the Syrian, Go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto you." Now, what kind of a message is that? If you believe that Jesus can save you, guess what he can do? Hell, he will. If you don't believe that God can possibly save you, guess what you won't ever get? You won't ever get saved. If you don't believe Jesus can and is willing to heal you, guess how long you're going to be sick? Forever. That's right. Or you're going to die. If you don't believe God will meet your needs and meet all of your needs and meet all and give you, bless you with prosperity, if you'll be willing and obedient to tithe, if you don't believe God will do that, guess what? He's a faith God. He'll back off and let you do whatever you want to. In other words, isn't it amazing that God came and nearly 2,000 years ago done everything he done this week and paid the price for us and became our substitute for everything, for sin, for sickness, disease, for the curse, for poverty, everything. Done it all, paid it all, and then told us what we could do, give us a set of rules, and said, if you kids will go do this, this will be yours. And we've not believed the king. And we listen to the wrong teachings. We listen to that lying spirit. If it be your will. I can show you so many places in the Word of God. In fact, that verse a while ago in Matthew 18:19. You might, as a precious little lady, you might ask your pastor this next time they pray for somebody and they say, if it be your will, you might just go up and gently and say, sir, could I ask you a question? And if he says, well, of course, honey, go ahead. Say, would you read this verse for me? Maybe your Bible reads different in mine in Matthew 18:19. My Bible says in Matthew 18:19, Jesus said, again, I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything you ask me for, it will be done for you. He didn't say, if it be my will. He said, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. So, sir, you're one, and this woman that's sick is one. So if the two of you can agree that she's healed, why can't you believe that it is his will since he said it was his will? At least you'll put him to thinking. You see what I'm saying? You see what I'm saying? Even you could do that, right, young lady? Could you? Sure. Yes, ma'am.
He uses if it be thy will in the Lord's prayer. Mm-hmm. And isn't that the prayer that we're supposed to do our prayers after?
Well, now here's the thing. He didn't say there, if it be your will. He said, your will be done.
Yes, it did.
He didn't say, if this is your will. Because when Jesus came from heaven to earth, he knew what he came for. And he wasn't asking that question, Lord, if it be your will to direct me some other way. He said, Lord, may your will be done. Now then, he knew what he came for. This if business, the devil has so distorted that in the church. And I can take healing and I can go back into the Word of God and I can show you in the Word of God dozens of places where Jesus in the atonement. And if you haven't listened to my tapes, I've got, of course, many videos back there. But the tapes, I've got two 90-minute tapes on healing, how to be healed, number one, and how to be healed, number two, and then why some people are not healed. And there's 4.5 hours of teaching on those three tapes. And I've had people take those three tapes and listen to them and get healed of anything known to man. Because you've got to know what God's will is. If God is a faith God, the day I learned this changed the way I've done business. The day I learned what my Heavenly Father's will is on this earth for me. Guess what I can now do to a prayer? I can pray a prayer in faith and thank Him knowing that I have the answer.
Well, the Bible says too to be bold in your prayer.
Oh, yes. In fact, if you come before the Lord, just like Arsha is saying there in Hebrews when he says, now come boldly before my throne. He didn't say, in fact, I think this is where we really miss it on this healing as well as all other things we need from the Lord. We don't realize who we are. You don't realize that you are a daughter or a son of the King of the universe. Do you realize when you made Jesus Lord of your life, you became a joint heir with Christ? You became the righteousness of God in Christ. I've had people say, oh, Thurman, if I could just be righteous like you, I could pray and get answers like you do. I said, I didn't have a thing to do with being righteous. He said, of course you did. I said, no, I didn't. You didn't read 2 Corinthians 5:17-21. Because if you'd have read that, it says, I have been made the righteousness of God in Christ by what Jesus did for me on the cross. So who made me the righteousness of God in Christ? The Lord did. So if He has made me the righteousness of God in Christ, then why don't I straighten up my act and start acting like I'm righteous? Stop letting all those jokes come out of my mouth. Stop letting all those foul words come out of my mouth. Start speaking the Word of God. Because if I'm a king's kid, it's time to start speaking like a king's kid. Not like that poor little poverty-stricken kid that's down the street that's running around using all that foul word. I'm not living in his house. That's the devil's place. But you can't hardly tell a Christian today from the king's kids, supposedly, because when you go to work, the king's kids are telling as bad of jokes as the devil's kids are. But you're not supposed to do that. You're supposed to let holy things come out of your mouth. So as you let holy things come out of your mouth, everybody begins to recognize you're different. What's wrong with that crazy guy? I mean, gee whiz. I mean, when I come to where I work, sky shifts, as an engineer 5.5 years ago, the first 3 months, the guys that worked for me said, "Wow, they're talking behind my back. They don't say it because they've met the first man that they've ever worked for that their boss knew more than they did." As I was the first one that they ever had that said they knew the equipment better than they did. So that's kind of boggled her mind. But what is wrong with this guy? He is a Bible thumper. He's always talking about Jesus. I mean, he wants to pray. He wants to have a prayer meeting in the morning to start this thing off. I mean, this guy has got a loose screw. But they ain't telling me that. I say, anybody wants to come into the prayer meeting, you're welcome. So some of them would, you know, well, let's go in there. We don't want to make the boss unhappy. So let's go in and listen to his prayer. And when I'd be praying, some of them now told me, said, somebody start to walk by the hall outside and the hair would raise up on their neck as they're getting ready. Say, oh, everybody's going to know I'm in here. And he's praying for us. You reckon they're ashamed of Jesus? Sure they was. They didn't know who the king was. But I prayed and worshiped him and all those things. And I'd only been there 3 months. And I was up in the cafeteria one morning, and a little precious little 64-year-old lady had said she loved Jesus, walked in, and I saw her arms all wrapped up, and I said, "What is wrong with you this morning?" Well, she said, "Thurman, my arms got to hurt me real bad, and they sent me down to the doctor's office, and the doctor said I've got carpal tunnel in both wrists." And I said, "So what can they do about it?" She said, "At my age," she said, "I'm 64 years old." They said, "At my age, nothing. I'll just have to put up with it." But said, "They give me so much medicine to take, I'm so dizzy, I can't hardly work, but I got to work at least one more year to get 65 before I can afford to retire." I said, "How would you like..." Now, that lady standing as far as me as Brenda is back there. I said, "How would you like for Jesus to heal you?" And it got deathly quiet in the cafeteria. She said, "I would love it." I said, "Then come over here to my table." She walked over there. And I just reached up and put my hand on her arm. And I said, "Father, it is written in Mark chapter 16, verse 18, you said, lay hands on the sick and they'll get well. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to do a complete healing on this precious little woman from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet. Thank you, Lord. It's done." And he reached down from heaven and hit that woman and instantly totally healed her standing right before my table. Her dizziness went away. Her pain went away. And some of the guys walked down to my office about an hour later. I remember one of these guys, which is my lead, he walked up and he said, Thurman, I know you and I know that woman and she was healed. I said, "So what's the big deal? It's just Jesus." He said, "I've never seen nothing like this." I said, "But that's where we all ought to be living." Well, 3 months later, when that precious little woman walked in my office, she said, "Thurman, you remember the exact words you used when you prayed for me that morning?" I said, "No, ma'am." She said, "You said, Father, in the name of Jesus, do a complete healing on this woman from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet. Now, what you say is very, very important." I said, "So, Edith, what difference does it make? The king heals you." She said, "Oh, but Thurman, what you don't know." She said, "I've had a hernia for years, and I noticed it's gone. I went to the doctor and had a complete physical, and I just got out of the doctor's office, and he just told me that there's not one single thing wrong with me from the top of my head to the bottom of my foot." Can we praise the Lord for that, huh? Is Jesus awesome? Will he do exactly what you ask him for? What if I just said, "Lord, I command that carpal tunnel to be well"? Guess what would he have done? That's all he would have done, healed her carpal. But Jesus so wanted to heal that precious little daughter of his that had loved him, but didn't know he was the healer. That little woman went to church. She served God. She had talked about Jesus in the workplace. She loved to sit down at the table and talk to me about Jesus. But she didn't know he was the healer. Boy, she did after that day. She had learned. But a lot of us don't know that, do we? Look what he says there. And we go on down here. He says in James chapter 1, I want you to see this. Look what happens when you don't ask in faith. James chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. The Bible says, but let him, you can put your name right there, or her, ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think he shall receive anything from the Lord. Did your Bible read like that? Did it really read like that?
James 1.
James chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. Right after the book of Hebrews, the first book after the book of Hebrews, James chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. Read that yourself and see, did your Bible really say that if you didn't ask in faith, Jesus will not do a thing? It said that, huh, young lady? So I did read that right. But let him ask in faith. So if you're going and asking for healing and saying, Lord, if it be your will, and his will is definitely for you to receive healing every time, if it is that, and you use that, if it be your will, that's why you never see a healing in your church. So you might as well quit. Well, you ain't going to see the king do nothing. Of course, once in a great while, he might say, oh, my goodness gracious, I'm just going to do something today. My kids just don't believe me, but for this precious little lady, I'm going to do something special for her just to show them it is my will to heal her. Maybe one day they'll get a hold of this. And if God didn't do that for once in a while, guess what? We would virtually never see anything. But look what he says. But let him ask in faith. Ask how? In faith. Nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man or woman think he or she will receive anything from the Lord. Your Bible read like that?
Yes. Well, I heard a different... I called a teacher on the carpet about this the other day at Presto. You want to hear what he said?
Uh-huh, sure.
He said, you have to read the previous verse. He says, this is in reference to asking in faith about having wisdom.
Wisdom. Of course it is. But of course, but now then, if one spiritual law works in one place, guess what will work every time you come to the Lord? Yeah, the verse in front of that says, just let any man lack wisdom. Now then, should any man lack wisdom? No, we should not lack wisdom, because if we knew the Word of God, we'd know that Jesus is our wisdom. So all you got to do is receive it. But most people don't know that. So people must ask for wisdom. What is wisdom? It's knowing what to do with the knowledge that you have. You know how many people we got today that's educated to the hilt with doctor's degrees and everything else and don't know how to do nothing? Because they don't have any wisdom. Because they don't serve God. Wisdom is knowing what to do with the knowledge that you have. How many people have called that common sense?
Oh, yeah.
That man is so educated. That woman has went to college. She's got a PhD, and her husband's got a PhD, and I swear them two can't do nothing. They can't get in out of the rain. Have you ever heard people say those kind of crazy things? And you take some poor old farmer out there, and he ain't never been to school at all, but he's got all kinds of wisdom because he had to ask God. But sure, I will agree with what this young lady said. The verse above that says, does any man lack wisdom? Let him ask God, who gives liberally to all without finding fault. But, when he asks, let him ask in faith. Now then, if it works for wisdom, guess what else it works for? Anything. When you ask God for anything, he is a faith God. And let me tell you, where one spiritual law works, guess where it'll work in the Word of God? Everywhere. This is spiritual law. God's word is spiritual law. And if you don't come to him on behalf of his word, guess what you're going to get from the king? Nothing. Your need does not move his hand. How many Christians have I seen that were wonderful, dedicated men and women of God that lay there on their deathbeds dying with sickness and disease and cancer, and they were trying to believe God for healing. And every one of them that says, oh, I hope God hurries up and heals me. Guess how many of those get healed? None. That is not faith. Faith is so difficult for us to grab a hold of. We say we think we have it, but we don't. We don't know what it is. And if you haven't got those two tapes I've made on the different kinds of faith, you need to get those two tapes and you need to listen to them over and over and over, because they will teach you the kinds of faith that work. And that's a problem with us. We don't know the Word of God. We don't know the Word. But if you do not ask God in faith for whatever you ask Him for, you will receive nothing from the Lord. Nothing. That's spiritual law. Now then, in Hebrews 11:6, when you go to Hebrews 11:6, listen to this. Hebrews 11:6. Now, what is faith? What is the definition of faith?
Well, Thurman, the thing that you said is that touched me the very first time I heard you was faith is the Word of God in action.
That's it. Faith is the Word of God in action. That's what faith is. So, if you don't know this Word and you don't have it in your heart, guess how much faith you got?
None.
Just like a young lady, I was asked here a while back to come to a home of a precious little young lady. This lady needed a healing. I walked in there, I began to talk to her. I said, young lady, you got to have faith. She said, sir, I have great faith. I said, quote me your favorite healing verse. Well, I know there's got to be one. I said, so quote it for me. That woman, I said, just quote me a verse out of the Bible, woman. Just quote me a verse. I can't think of one right now. I said, ma'am, you don't have great faith. You have no faith. Zero. And you wonder why she's sick? I can tell you. Because she had no faith. God's a faith God. You know why God don't, you know why need don't move the hand of God? You ever stop to think about that? Why do you think need? Because so many of us are in need. The people in Africa, all these wars and everything, that James Roberts and his group, bless the Lord, goes down there and feeds these hungry kids and saves people's lives. But guess why God just don't come in there and do a miracle and heal all of those people and feed them all? Guess why He don't do that? Because there's a tremendous need there, right?
Mm-hmm. I would think from sin. Well, part of it is God doesn't impose Himself on people.
That's right. He's a faith God. And need does not move His hand. Because guess who created all them needs down there, just like the needs are in this room right here? Satan. And guess who God does not follow after? Satan. He is a faith God, and He does not follow after the devil. God is a faith God. And when I learned that years ago, it blew the way I do things out of the water. I realized that book made me a promise. I got to believe it with no doubt. If Jesus said in Matthew 18:19, if two of us on earth agree about anything I ask Him for, it will be done for us by our Father in heaven. I have used that verse to get people's finances met. I've used that verse to get people healed. I've used that verse to get all awesome things done. And then when I quote that to them, I said, now then, if you believe me with no doubt, I guarantee you have your answer. Who have I got to believe?
God.
Either God or the devil. I can pray, if it be your will, after He just told me what His will was. You see where I'm coming from, young lady? So you pray, if it be your will, God? He says, my kids don't believe me. If I could get sick at my stomach as God, you kids make me sick at my stomach. That's where we are. But He says, look what He says in Hebrews 11:6. Maybe your Bible reads different than mine. Hebrews 11:6, He says, but without faith, it is impossible to please me. For he that cometh to me must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Does your Bible read like that?
Yes.
Without faith, if you can't please God, if He's the King of the universe and you can't please Him, guess what you can't get from Him? If let me give you this scenario. Let's say that, well, I'll use me as an example. Say my wife won't do nothing I ask her to do. Say she's just the meanest woman on the block. I mean, you know, she won't never fix me dinner. She won't never wash my clothes. She won't never do nothing for me. She won't never clean the house. She don't never do nothing. And one day I walk in, she says, honey, I saw a brand new $25,000 car down there in the showroom. I sure would like to have it. Would you go down and buy that for me? What do you think the chances are I'm going to go down there and buy that car for her? You think I'm just going to say, oh, sure, honey, I'll run right down there and get it for you? Would you go buy it for your wife if she'd been meaner than the devil himself and she lived in your house? Would you? No. There's a man nearly as smart as I am right there. But, if that woman did everything, you didn't even have to ask her for nothing. She took such good care of you and your house and everything else, and one day she needed something, chances are she wouldn't even have to ask you for a car, would she, sir? He'd be looking and say, what can I do for that lovely woman? I want to do something that makes her happy. She's such a great woman. Well, I mean, if we're that smart, do you think God's any different? No. So you want to get God to do something for you, guess what you're going to have to do for Him? You're going to have to worship Him. You're going to have to praise Him. You're going to have to be obedient to His Word. You're going to have to do everything proactively. Now then, if you do everything proactively, you do it in advance, and you worship Him, you praise Him, you thank Him, you go to church, you tithe, you do all the good things, you talk about Him to people, tell Him, people, how wonderful Jesus is and all these wonderful things. Then one day when you need something, when somebody comes up and says, oh, my daughter, my son, or my husband or whatever needs a healing, would you come over and pray for them, Thurman? Sure, I'll come over there. I command that devil to leave this boy in the name of Jesus, and I command him to be healed in Jesus' name. Lord, thank you. And guess what happens? He gets healed. His life is totally changed. You want the power of God to flow through your life? Maybe you don't want the power of God to flow through your life. Is it worth the cost?
Yes.
Yes. Okay, here's a man who says yes. So guess what you're going to have to do if you want to walk healed proactively without any sickness and disease? You're going to have to do it God's way. Now then, if you're already sick and afflicted and you want to get healed, guess whose way you're going to have to do it? God's way. That's right. You're going to have to learn that He's a healer. And you're going to have to, just like a lady brought a man to my Sunday school class a few months ago. This woman was miraculously healed at one of these healing schools. And so a friend of hers called her and said, I'm going to Mexico City to see a doctor. Said, I've got a spur in my backside. It hurts me so bad I can't hardly sit down. And I can't find no doctor in the States that'll touch this thing. She said, why don't you, instead of flying to Mexico City, won't you fly to Dallas this afternoon and go to church with me in the morning out at the Baptist church and listen to a Baptist Sunday school teacher? He said, are you crazy, woman? She said, no. Said, if you'll come and do what this man says, Jesus will heal you. So guess who showed up in my Sunday school class the next morning? That woman and that man. And he come, and I never seen him before in my life. I said, sir, if you got a spur in your backside that's hurting you so bad you can't hardly sit down, I'd call that a curse, wouldn't you? He said, well, I'd call it something. I said, if that's a curse, I said, Proverbs 26:2 says, no curse comes upon you undeserved. Now, what does that sound like? That means the devil just can't come by your house and say, I'm going to kill you today. If he could, guess how many of us would be alive today? None of us. Proverbs 26:2 says, no curse comes upon you undeserved. So I said, I don't know what you're doing wrong because I don't know you. But you're doing something wrong. And if you want to be healed, if you'll make God a promise and tell Him you'll stop doing these crazy things that you're doing and start walking in obedience to His Word, I guarantee you He'll heal you when I lay hands on you and pray for you. The man said, okay. He said, I never heard this approach before, but he said, sounds reasonable to me. I said, okay. So I got him to confess his sins. I laid hands on him and prayed for him. And a month later, he was back. He said, I decided I'd come back and see you again. I said, how are you doing? He said, 90% of the problem's gone. Only 10%'s left. But he said, I changed some things too. Now, I didn't know what he meant by that. But the next healing school I was there, the lady that brought him, she said, you know where Dennis is at today? I said, no, ma'am, don't have a clue. He's getting married. Oh, he is. She said, yes, he was living with that young lady out of wedlock. He repented of his sins, had a spur in his backside, hurt so bad he couldn't sit down. He stopped, moved out, stopped living with a woman, asked God to forgive him, asked her to marry him. And by the time they got married, guess what was wrong, where his spur was? It was gone. Isn't that amazing? word is so simple, isn't it? It's so simple. All he requires is you to do what he says. Walk in love, go to church, give a tenth of your income to the king, and walk in love. And with unforgiveness toward everybody.
Thurman, earlier you talked about praise and worship, and I don't think, it occurred to me just a few minutes ago that I don't think we initially understand or even realize what praise and worship is. Because I went to church, and I'd sing songs. I would sing. I mean, I didn't just sit there. I got up and stood and sang. And I never, and I heard the words praise, and I heard the word worship, but it didn't register with me the way it does now. That is, it's talking. It's like talking to God.
Sure.
You're saying, these are my feelings about you, and I honor you, and I believe in you, and I'm letting you know that.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other thing about that was, and I've mentioned this to you before, but I don't know, maybe it may be helpful. I was taught all my life about everything in the world. You've got to sacrifice. You do without. And sacrifice to me was a dirty word. I mean, I grew up hating that word. And one day, reading in the Bible, can I read this verse real quick?
Yeah.
In Hebrews 13:15, it says, through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess his name, and do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices God is pleased.
Amen.
Well, all of a sudden, sacrifice became something else to me. It became sharing my love with God, sharing my praises and acknowledgement of God, and sharing with other people. It was a whole, three verses or
That's
two,
right.
whatever it is, opened up a whole new...
Yeah. And when you begin to do that, young lady, what began to happen to your life?
That in addition to these other things, my prayers have started getting answered.
Yeah, this lady up here, Miss Arsha, she had hardly ever seen a prayer answered. I don't think she'd ever seen a miracle like most people. And when she got a hold of these things, when she, in the privacy of her own home, began to really tell the Lord, worship him and praise him and thank him for what he had done. Because you can come to church, you can sing songs, you can say you're worshiping the Lord, and you may be, but then you go home, and from Sunday till next Sunday, you never think about him.
Mm-hmm. Or even if you do. I mean, even if you do, if you don't understand what you're doing and what it means...
Because he's not a personal God.
Yeah,
but when you realize he is with you, he is in you, and when you can bow down in the privacy of your own bedroom, he said, because what you do in secret, I will reward you openly. So if you bow down and worship the king and praise him and thank him for these mighty things, then he will do great and mighty things when you go in his name. Now then he also says that if you will not confess me before man, I will not confess you before the Father in heaven. And it says, I want to show you this awesome principle that, as far as the principle of spiritual laws, when you get into Mark 11, I want to show you this principle. I don't know why it is that in the Baptist church, now I've been in the Baptist church all of my life, and I have never heard this powerful verse taught on from the pulpit or a Sunday school class in my life. And I don't understand this. This is such an awesome spiritual law. And I don't know why we don't teach on this. But we don't. Maybe your church, I don't know what kind you're from, and it don't make any difference as long as we all believe in Jesus. I don't care what kind of church you go to, but I'm just saying in my Baptist church, I have never heard this verse taught on in my life. But in Mark chapter 11, starting with verse 12, and it says, on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry, and seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if happily he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. Do you think Jesus didn't know that it was not the time of the year for figs to grow on that tree? Of course he knew it was. But he's going to show us a spiritual law here. It's so important to getting things done. And Jesus answered and said unto it, the tree. Now, what did he do to that tree? He spoke to that tree. When people says it don't do no good to speak to your plants, hey. You walk out there with a stick and say, you dumb bunch of roses, you ain't never going to produce a rose. I know you ain't never going to produce a rose. And if you go out there and do that every day, I guarantee that rose bush will not produce a rose for you. Because you spoke to it and you spoke a curse on it. Yes, sir.
Several years ago, we lived in a different town. And we had a tree beside our driveway that was a mulberry. And it looked like it was about to die.
I'm just getting close so you can...
Okay, and I went out with an axe, and I hit it on the bottom of the tree by the root. I said, if you don't start growing, I'm going to cut you down. And it started growing again.
Amen. I'm telling you, folks, you do not realize the power in your words. I am telling you, we do not realize the power in our words. Because look what Jesus did to this tree. Jesus said unto it, just like you, sir. You spoke to that tree, Jesus spoke to this tree. And he says, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. And he just walked off. Now then, did they see anything happen right then? No. But they walked off. And they came to Jerusalem, and after they went to Jerusalem, and he cleansed the temple. And when people says Jesus is a gentle Jesus, they never see him as that temple, because he picked up the rope and he is thrashing people. He is turning the tables over. I mean, he's not a happy camper. So Jesus can get angry. Don't ever let nobody kid you. He can. But after he cleansed the temple and told them that there was not to make this house a den of thieves, but a house of worship, the next morning, they left, and as they passed by, they saw the fig tree in verse 20. It was dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, said unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest, which is what? Cursed? He cursed? I didn't hear him curse a tree. I just heard him speak to a tree. So can what you say be a curse? According to the Word of God, it can. Peter, Jesus said to the tree, may you never bear fruit again. But Peter said, Lord, you cursed that tree. Because he spoke negatively to that tree. This is what's so awesome. When you learn that as a son or a daughter of the King of the universe, the power of God is in your mouth to speak your world into existence, I guarantee when you get a hold of that, the things that comes out of your mouth will begin to change. You will start speaking what you want out of your mouth instead of what your symptoms and what you see are. Because I'm going to tell you, I don't care who you are or how much faith you got, I can pray for you, I can rub every hair off of your head, I can anoint you with oil till you're slick as a greased pig, and I'm going Okay. I'm even blushing now. And if your confession does not line up, I am healed, guess what you're not going to get from the Lord? You're not going to be healed.
So basically, you can curse yourself by the things you say and think to yourself.
Yes, sir. You can. This is one of the greatest hindrances to your faith, is you can never rise above your confession of the Word of God. If you go through life saying, oh, if I had any luck, it'd be bad. My old car's wore out. I could never get a good job. Old Joe, he always found all the good jobs. But I could never have a job like Joe. I could never make as much money as he does. I'll probably just go through and barely get by. You know people that make those kind of stupid statements? And guess what they have?
Nothing.
Exactly what they say. But if you start worshiping the King and you learn how to talk, anybody can be well-to-do if you'll learn how to talk. If you'll, sir. Yes, sir.
Sir, just a quick question. What's the best verse to quote back to somebody when they curse themselves? And you say, do you want that curse you just brought upon yourself? And they go, what do you mean? You know, and they're a Christian. They've read the Bible, but maybe they don't know it. What's the very best scripture to?
The two best scriptures I know to answer that with, and then you would have to read it to them and go through them, is these scriptures we're just talking about in Matthew, in Mark 11, 22 through 25. What we're fixing to get, this is the two best verses I know, along with Matthew 17 or Matthew 21:21, I believe it is. I might go to that in a minute. But let me right here on this one. This is the best one. Mark 11:22 through 24 is the best verses you can show a Christian that says the wrong thing, because we're fixing to get into that right now. Because he said, after he said, you curse the tree, look what Jesus said. He didn't say nothing about the tree. Jesus turned to them and said, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, or truly I say unto you, that whosoever shall say, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Now, did your Bible read something like that?
Amen.
Now, if your Bible read something like that, look at the next verse. Verse 24. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Is that an awesome promise? In other words, let me give you this scenario. When our king died, and he arose again on the third day, and 40 days later he stood on Mount Olivet, and he is the Mount of Olives, and he's getting ready to go back to the third heaven. He said, guys, all power in heaven and earth has been given to me. Now I delegate that power to my church. Now then, in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20, I'm going to have Paul later write a promise to you that every promise I make you in my word, my answers are not yes and no. They're not yes sometimes and no sometimes. But in me, Christ, the answer to all of my promises are yes every time.
Amen.
Isn't that an awesome promise? So he goes back to heaven and he says, Father, I want to take the safety deposit boxes that are up here with all the promises I've got for all my children on earth. And I told them in Matthew 16 that I give them the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever they bind on earth should be bound in heaven. Whatever they loose on earth should be loosed in heaven. So I'm going to go ahead and put my key in the box. It's a dual box. It's got two keyholes. And I'm going to put my key in my side, and I'm going to turn it, and I'm going to open all of the doors to all the promises that I made to all of my children for every one of them, every time. Now then, all they got to do is find the key for the other side. And if they find the key to the other side, if they find the key to salvation and come up and stick it on the box and turn it, the box will fly open, they'll be saved. If they find the key to healing, they bring the key up, I give them to the keys of the kingdom. I told them whatever they loose on earth will be loose in heaven. Whatever they bind on earth should be bound in heaven. So I give them a blank check. They go up and they put their key in there and they turn it. Healing is theirs. I paid the price for them. With my stripes, they were healed. So I've already paid the price. It's in the atonement. They don't have to pray for healing no more. All they really have to do is rebuke the enemy, command him to leave, walk holy before me, and the healing will be theirs. They don't have to beg and plead me for it no more. I paid the price for it. With my blood, I paid the price for their sins. And with my stripes, they were healed. If you were, then you are. If you know it. Because you have to receive everything in the kingdom by faith. Because did you know how many people could be born again today? I don't know how many of y'all are Baptists, but since I was raised in a Baptist church and we hear these kind of messages every Sunday almost, anybody, I don't care how bad you've been, I don't care what you've done, if you'll walk down that aisle and ask Jesus to come into your heart and be your Lord and Savior, I guarantee He'll save you. He won't never turn you down. We hear that on a regular basis. That's why nearly everybody in the Baptist church is born again, because they've heard that. But if I tell that preacher, I said, you know that word in Romans chapter 10, verse 10, that says you'll be saved, you know that word sozo, and that word means saved, healed, delivered, preserved, and made whole? Well, no, I didn't know that. Or some of them say, yeah, I didn't know that. I said, so then, what do you not understand about if you'll confess Jesus with your mouth and believe in your heart, you'll be healed? I never thought about it like that. I said, don't worry, I didn't either. until 15 years ago. And when I did, I began to confess Jesus as my healer, because I learned by faith. I had to receive him as my healer by faith. And when I received that and began to confess that with my mouth, that he's my healer, that I'm never going to be sick again, out of my mouth, I've never given the devil legal right in the last 15 years to make me sick. Every time he tries to come upon me, I come against him with "it is written." And in 15 years, guess how many times I've been sick?
Zero.
Zero. Not one time. Not bad for a 62-year-old man, is it?
Not bad.
Not bad. So if it'll work for this old farmer, guess who it'll work for?
Anybody.
Anybody that'll believe God. He says, "I'm no respecter of persons." It'll work for you, just like it did me. But look at this tremendous spiritual law there. And Brian, is that pretty awesome right there in Mark 23? Listen to that. "For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith." Now let me tell you what happens. The first time you get a symptom and you get the feeling bad and you run down to the doctor, and the doctor does a CAT scan on you or whatever and said, "Oh, well, you're over 40. We better check this." Or, "Women over 40 got breast cancer. We need to check you." And he feels a little bitty tiny lump in there and said, "Well, we don't know for sure, but this could be cancer." Guess what? 999 out of 1,000 of women will do. They'll go home and call their best friends. Oh, God, I've got this lump in my breast and I just know it's cancer. We don't know for sure yet, but I just know it's cancer. You shall have whatsoever you say. Now, you know what you should have done? You should have walked out of that doctor's office and said, "Oh, glory, Father, thank you and praise you for one more opportunity to prove that greater is the Holy Spirit that's in me than the devil that's in the world.
Amen.
Thank you, Father, that you said all these tests and trials had come upon me." It, just like you said James chapter 1 and 1 Peter chapter 1, "These things are building my faith, which is more precious to you than silver and gold, even though the gold be refined by fire." So, Father, I want to thank you that Isaiah 53:4 said that Jesus bore my pain on the cross. And I want to thank you in Isaiah 53:5, he said, "With my stripes, I was healed." Lord, and I want to thank you that Matthew 8:17 clearly says that Jesus himself bore my sickness and removed my disease. So, Lord, if Jesus himself bore my sickness and removed my diseases, then this has got to be the devil trying to put this thing on me. Now, I got the word in my heart, Lord. I'm standing on your word. So now then, devil, when Jesus wrote for me in Luke chapter 10, verse 20, that you had to be subject to me, what do you not understand about that, mister? In the name of Jesus, get out and take your lump with you when you go. Now, Lord, I worship you and praise you that you healed me. And you go, and guess what happens if you've submitted yourself to God and you resist the devil with "it is written"? What is the devil going to do to you?
Flee.
He's going to flee. That's exactly right. But how many Christians will do that when you get sick? How many Christians do you know that when you get sick, you come against the devil with "it is written"? How many of us go to the doctor? About 999 out of 1,000. And then the one that don't, you take some lady walking this church one to say, "We got this place packed." A lady comes walking down here. This is a normal church. Lady come down. "How you doing, Sister Sue?" "Oh, man, I've got this headache and my nose is running. I must be coming down with the flu." "Yep, I believe you're coming down with it. Susie, come on. John, come over and look at Sue. She's coming down with the flu." "Yep, believe she's coming down with the flu." Everybody said, "Oh, we need to pray for Sister Sue. She's coming down with the flu." Ain't no prayer in heaven or hell could stop that woman from coming down with the flu with that kind of witness between everybody. The Lord said, if two of you agreed about anything you ask, you'd have it. You got 100 people agreeing with her that she's got the flu. Is that the way we do things? I think we need to learn how to talk, don't y'all? We need to learn how to talk the word. Now, the one thing I try to do, I try to back up everything I say with "it is written." I mean, that's why I beat this word down so that you can get it. Because when you get it, what happens in your life? You become a different person. This is one of the most powerful spiritual laws we've got right here. That law will teach you what you can and cannot do. So if you'll believe God, healing is yours every time. when you realize that your King, Jesus, went to hell for you. He came to this earth, first of all, and died on a cross for you. He went to hell for you. He paid the price for you. And the Father's wrath was poured out totally on him till the Father's wrath was satisfied. And then he raised him from the dead because he was without sin. And then he became our Lord and our God. And told us that if we would believe him, if we could just believe him, everything is yours. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. He says, life is yours. Death is yours. The world is yours. But it's all yours only if you know it and you believe it. When you really begin to read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and hide these mighty things in your heart, when you begin to understand who you are as a son or a daughter of the King of the universe, and that you can do the same things he did in his name, the world you live in will begin to dramatically change. And you will begin to see great and mighty things happen in your life.
Having a miscarriage, and she was on the way to the hospital. So, you know, I said, "Where you going to the hospital?" I said, "Oh no, Satan, get your hands off that baby." And you know what? It happened.
How about that?
The pain went, everything went, and she was fine. She had the baby. But that's true.
Of course.
It's so true. I knew it was Satan trying to kill that baby.
Sure. If here's the thing, in James chapter 1, verse 17, the Lord made us an awesome promise. In James 1, 17, the Word of God says, all good and perfect gifts come from the Father, of whom there is no variation or no turning. If all good and perfect gifts come from the Father, then where does death, killing, and stealing come from? The devil. You're right, young lady, from the devil. So when the devil starts doing these things to us as born-again Christians, why do we let the devil run over us? Let's do exactly what you did, young lady. Stand on the Word with your mouth. Command that beast to leave you or your children, and command him to get out. And when you do, guess what happens? You had something you want to tell us?
Yes.
Okay, come up here, young lady. I want to hear what you got to say. I'm excited to hear what the Lord has done for this precious lady. I want you to come up here and stand right beside me where you can, where this can come on this microphone. I want to hear this. What did the Lord do for you?
The Lord healed me. I have one lung. The Lord healed me of cancer that had come into that lung. And it's through the faith that I have learned, through this gentleman, through the Word, through the prayers of all of the body of Christ. And I just say, thank you, Jesus. But I have learned to build my faith, Truman, from what you have said. I've been a Christian all my life. I'm 72 years old, and I thought I knew the Word. I didn't know the Word. The Word has now come alive. And what I've learned is that our Lord Jesus gave his life for us 2,000 years ago and presented us with this magnificent gift. And we haven't learned to receive it, people. We haven't learned that this gift of life has been given us. But praise God, through your Word, I have learned the Word. And my Jesus gave me the gift, and I opened my hands and I received it. And he has given me back my life.
Can we serve an awesome Lord, folks? Awesome. We praise. Does it make a difference to learn? First time this little woman come to me, she said, I got one lung and I got cancer in that lung. And the doctors say, I ain't going to make it. But out of learning the Word and standing by faith, she now stands before you, a healed woman. Is God awesome or is he awesome?
Awesome.
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 Praise the Lord.
You know where the enemy is? Right here. Under my butt.
Oh, praise the Lord. Glory.
Bless you, bless you.
Glory to God. Those are the kind of testimonies I love to have at a healing school. Oh, glory to God.
I have two actually to tell you about. First of all, my lovely wife, Brandy, went to the healing school about 2 months ago. And her and I both had tremendous sinus problems. I've had it all my life to where I couldn't sleep. I've had surgery. I've had all kinds of medications and couldn't breathe. She went and got healed, and she called me so fired up on the phone. I mean, for hours she was gone, and she kept calling me and calling me and calling me. And I said, okay, yeah. So you got to come and see this Thurman and learn from Thurman, and you can be healed. I said, great. So I went to Thurman's Sunday school class, and after hearing Thurman for 1 hour of teaching just Sunday school, he's got my faith level way up here. And I came up after the class, and he laid hands on me and prayed for my sinuses, and they started draining immediately. They drained for 2 weeks. I've had no problem with my sinuses. I can breathe just fine. But I've had trouble with my back for 30 years. Serious trouble to where I couldn't go to church. The devil had been attacking me. I could hardly function. And my back's completely healed. I have no pain. Thank you, Lord. So,
we've merely just laid hands on him in a Sunday school class. Now, isn't that amazing? Jesus even shows up in a Baptist Sunday school class.
There you go. And worked on a Catholic altar boy. So.
Yeah, and a Catholic altar boy. Isn't that awesome? Does the Lord love his kids? But now, what is the difference that makes the difference? Faith. You got to learn the Word. Just like when Brendy come to the Waxahachie, I went down to Waxahachie and taught the Word of God down there one Saturday afternoon. And she was there. And after about a four-hour teaching, just about like today, she came up there and asked me to pray for her. And I prayed for her, and our precious Jesus healed her. Before she got home, she's healed. You know, and she's so on fire, like Jim says, she's calling and everything. So she says, you need to come to the Sunday school class out there and hear this guy. And he says, okay. So he comes out there, and like I say, after I build his faith a little while, and I didn't know he had back troubles. And isn't it amazing what we put up with for 30 years as Christians? And maybe your Bible reads different than mine. Open your Bible to Mark chapter 16, verse 17 and 18, and see if your Bible says anything about healing. Maybe your Bible don't read like mine. Maybe I'm reading out of a foreign Bible. But that's the Bible that works for me. Now, when I took Jim's back that Sunday and laid hands on him and prayed for him, I quoted a scripture. And my Bible says in Mark chapter 16, and these signs shall follow those that believe. It'll follow who?
Those that believe.
Those that believe. Now, can you be an unbelieving believer? Sure you can. There's a big bunch of them out there. But I'm a believing believer. So these signs shall follow them that believe. He said, in my name, the name of Jesus, you shall cast out demons. You shall speak with new tongues. You shall handle serpents or the devil. You shall drink, if you drink anything deadly, it won't hurt you at all. And you shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Hallelujah. Did Jesus make us that promise?
Yes.
30 years this man suffered with a back problem. One five-second
That's it.
Prayer in a Southern Baptist Church upstairs Bible study room, laid hands on him, stood on the Word of God, and guess who showed up?
Hallelujah.
Jesus. Isn't he awesome? Praise the Lord, Jim. I'm so happy. Glory to God. Oh, I love it. So there is three testimonies. A lung that was going to eat up with cancer, that the woman's going to die. She's standing on the Word. Her cancer's gone. She's healed. And she's perfectly well. And Brendy back there, sinus problem, was healed that day after we prayed for her. And then her husband healed with sinus problem. Now, you notice his didn't happen immediately. His took a couple of weeks. It drained, but when it all drained out, guess who left? That was the devil draining out. And as the devil drained out, when the last little bit of that beast left, he's filling himself with the Word. And if he tries to come back and put a sniffle on you, what are you going to tell him now, Jim?
He's tried to come back a couple times. I said, oh, no.
Get out of here, you devil. Yeah, because he'll try that. Yes.
This lung, you have also prayed that he's going to create a new lung.
Yes. Absolutely. We are believing God for a brand new lung in her other side. And if we praise him and worship him and thank him for that, guess what's going to start happening? It's a done deal. The Jesus we serve, you only limit him by your faith or your belief in him. Any other? You had a testimony.
Yes, I do.
Okay.
As a matter of fact.
Come up here close where you can get close to the mic. I want it to be on tape. I love to hear what the Lord's doing, don't you? He's an awesome guy.
You know about this, and I've told you. But all of a sudden, one day, I woke up, and I had a pain in my right arm so bad that I thought I was having a heart attack. And they took me to the doctor and found out after doing an MRI that I had bone spurs. Your spine is like this right here at the base of your neck, that I had bone spurs that had were indented into my, to the nerves, into my spine. And it was causing me to lose the use of my right arm. The doctor said that if I could find a neurosurgeon to fix it, it would be hard to do because, you know, it was right on my spine. If they made a mistake, it could cause me to be paralyzed. And or I could live with pain and lose the use of my right arm. Well, we prayed about it. The Lord healed me. And I have pictures of before God and after God.
Amen. How long ago was this?
Three or four weeks ago.
Isn't it amazing when you begin? Now then, look, I might ask you a question. How much time in the last 2 or 3 months have you spent with God learning His Word?
Oh, every day now.
Every day.
Every day now. Yeah.
See, what made the difference? This little lady, when you begin to learn what God has prepared for you, you begin to spend time with Him in His Word. Or you watch videos or audio tapes or something that somebody teaches on healing like I do. As you listen to those, since I almost speak the Word completely on my tapes, my audios and videos, is by going to the Word. If you're hearing me teach the Word, guess what you're getting in you? The Word. And the Word is what heals you. So if you get the Word in you, then that's why this lovely little lady here is no longer going to have surgery. Because, and I've seen this, I don't know how many times I've seen God heal people like this with neck problems, back problems, and some of them have been instantly, and they've been Catholics, Methodists, Baptists, Pentecostals, I mean, you name it. I've come to realize God is no respecter of persons. He loves all His kids. He even loves His Catholic kids. You know, really, you know, I mean, that's true, because this Catholic boy that works for me, he come into my office one day and wanted me to pray for him. He had a same kind of deal in his neck, and he couldn't raise his arms. And I said, well, Tom, why do you want me to pray for you? He said, Thurman, when you pray for people around here, miracles happen.
Right.
And I said, well, I said, didn't you tell me you were a Catholic? He said, yes, sir. I said, well, I'm a Baptist, and because I'm a Baptist, you're a Catholic, I'm not going to pray for you. He said, you're not? I said, no, sir, I'm going to prove a point to you. I said, I'm going to prove to you that the Jesus that you love, if you love Jesus, he said, oh, I love Jesus. I said, okay, I'm going to prove to you that the Jesus that you love is the same Jesus that I love. And He'll heal you if you'll come to Him by faith on behalf of His Word. I said, now in your church, do you still come down to the little booth on the front and confess your sins? He said, well, yeah, that's the way we do it. I said, that won't get it done. I said, you got to go get on your knees and come to the Father in the name of Jesus. That's the only way you can get your sins confessed. You can't do it to that little priest down there in the booth. I said, so you go home tonight and you begin to do things the way the Word says. You get on your knees. You ask the Father to forgive you of everything you've ever done that you can think of. And after you get all your sins confessed, because that's what brought this sickness and disease on you, after you've done that, then you ask the Father on behalf of some verses I'm going to give you. You quote these verses, and then you say, Father, Your Word promises me healing. So, Lord, I want to thank You for the healing of my neck in the name of Jesus. The next day, this guy comes screaming back in my office, hands raised, screams at Thurman, why don't they teach this in my Catholic church? I said, Tom, I don't know why they don't teach it in my Baptist church, but they don't. He said, this is so awesome. I said, well, tell me what happened. He said, man, I went home and did exactly what you said last night. He said, I got off work about midnight. I went home and everybody's asleep, so I got in a bedroom all by myself. I got down on my knees. I confessed all of my sins. He said, it must have been there 20 or 30 minutes, because I said, boy, I kept this thing beginning to come up. I couldn't believe what come out of my mouth. So he said, I began to confess sin till I got them all done. When I got them all done, I said, now, Lord, is there any others? Because I want to be totally clean and walk holy before You. He said, I didn't think of nothing else. I said, okay, Lord, I've confessed everything I know. He said, Thurman, give me these verses today, and these verses come out of Your Word. And these verses said, You healed me on the cross. So, Lord, I want to thank You for healing me. Praise Your holy name. He said, Thurman, I felt an electric shock hit me right in the back of the neck, just like a light electricity. He said it went down both arms right out my fingertips and said all of a sudden both arms went straight up in the air. Said, I've not been able to do that in at least 2 years. He said, I'm telling you, I sat there on my knees with my hands raised praising the Lord for probably at least 20 minutes. And he said, look, I can do anything. I have no problems at all. That's been 3 years ago and the man ain't never had another minute's problem with his neck. Now, he was a Catholic. God? You mean you heal Catholics, Lord? Yes, God heals all of his kids that come to him in faith. So I think it's time we stop worrying about Catholics, Methodists, Baptists, Pentecostals. Let's just love Jesus and let him do his thing, right? Isn't he awesome? He's awesome. Is there any other testimonies? Boy, these are great. Come up here, young lady, if you got one. Come up here. I want it on the tape, so I want you to speak close to me. Let's hear yours.
Well, at the same Waxahachie trip, I was prayed for my thyroid problem, and I should have said the whole healing, but I went home and I finished the whole healing, and I have a lot of drainage in my ears. That was healed. I have not had a thyroid pill since, so it's been about 3 months now. I have energy to burn, and God is awesome. God is so awesome.
Oh, praise the Lord. Are these awesome testimonies? I mean, is Jesus wonderful? What made the difference in these people's life? What was it? The Word. The Word. They begin to hear the Word. And they might have heard it different than they've heard it a lot of times. But if you teach the Word like it's written and it works like this, and we see precious little ladies and like this and Jim and precious men and women and all these mighty things that just you've heard here today, if you've heard these people's lives totally changed, if the Word works the way I teach it, then you need to listen to it the way I teach it, right? Because guess what? That's the way it's written, right? That's the way it's written. It produces miracles when you teach it like it's written. These are awesome testimonies today, right?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, is there any other testimonies? Yes.
I want to say something. Okay. Mine's a little different, and it's even different a little bit than what you've heard. I mentioned earlier about my relationship with my father, and grew up with a lot of anger that I didn't even know was anger, and a lot of unforgiveness that I didn't understand. And didn't until I was an adult and several years and finally began to work on it because I heard you're supposed to forgive and you're supposed to do this and you're supposed to do that. And so I started working on it, but inside of my heart, I kept saying, he knows better. He's an intelligent man. He shouldn't have done this and he shouldn't have done that and he should have known better and all these other excuses. But I was still working on it. and I had come a long ways. I'd gotten where I actually wanted to forgive him. Now, setting that aside for a minute, I have gone to church not because of my family. This is something I did on my own as of an internal desire somewhere that I got. And so I was going to church and I would pray and I would go to Sunday school and I'd ask questions and I didn't start study the Word like every day, but I'd read the Sunday school lessons and do these things. And so I thought I was an okay person, but I would ask questions about faith and about prayer. And the things in relation to faith, people would always say, well, if you really have faith, you'll know it. Or when you get it, you'll have this feeling in your heart and you'll know it. And it was like something was wrong with me, you know. What's wrong with you? You don't get it. And I didn't get it. And I'd also ask about prayer because I had a real hard time praying. I had an easy time praying for other people. I could say, you know, God bless so-and-so and do this and do that. But to ask for something for myself was another story. That was a really difficult, hard thing to do. And now I look back and I guess there's a whole lot of stuff about not feeling like I deserved it or not having a relationship. Now, but back to my father and that this thing with God, I'd also learned one day somebody said something that stuck in my mind, and they said that women who grow up with bad relationships with their fathers very often have a subconscious difficulty in trusting God. Because in your mind, you have that subconscious, it's not a conscious thing, but you have a subconscious relationship with the male figure that you're supposed to trust, with the male figure you grew up with that you never could trust. And so I began to put those things together. Then I started coming to Thurman's classes last summer, June or July?
Somewhere.
Middle summer. And learning all the things you've been hearing him teach, and then, of course, starting to study. And I read and I study every day, and at the time I wasn't in a situation where I could get down on my knees where I was living and pray, but I would go out in my car and pray and whatever, and then in November moved to where I could do that and have started getting down, and I'm a little bit conscious about saying that because it says pray in secret, but, you know, I want other people to know what I didn't know. And so I started getting down on my hands and knees every day, twice a day. And I miss once in a while, but I usually make it up somewhere during the day. And but not very often, believe me, not very often. And reading every day and studying and in my Bible. And I can honestly say that I can now carry on a conversation about my father and not just get so mad inside that I just want to strangle him. And I have forgiven him. And learned about the anger, and now instead of praying, I've learned to pray to God and say, instead of saying, give me patience, I've learned that that's a bad thing to do, because you'll get a whole lot of lessons that'll give you a whole lot of pain. But not only that, I've learned something else though in relation to that. It's not that I just don't want to have that pain, but I've learned to ask a different way. I've said, God, I thank you for filling me with love and taking away the anger. And thank you for filling me with your Holy Spirit to the point that the love and the Holy Spirit is overwhelming. Now believe me, I've got a long ways to go, but I'm going to tell you it's a lot different. And I'm praying for my father, but now I have to say something else. Once you get to all this, there's a lot of hurt too, because now I get on my knees and I see all these people who are in pain and who are not saved, and that I love and care about and pray about. And my prayer list is so long that some nights I just said, God, you know all the people I'm praying for. Please bless all of them. But now the pain inside is so hard, so terrible for other people that hurts.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, I don't know. You exchange one thing for another, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
But anyway, that's what I wanted to say.
Praise the Lord. When you really learn that you have power over the enemy in the name of Jesus, it changes everything you do business with. Because I know, just like this little lady right here, she told me something like this. I might tell this little story if you don't mind, unless you want to tell it.
No, you will.
She said that she had been listening to my audio tapes at work 8 hours a day. She works and does data entry, and she's got a headset with a player, and she literally listened to those audio tapes 8 hours a day. I was teaching on spiritual warfare, and when I come to the prayer of spiritual warfare, she said she had come to a lull in her data entry, so she was entering into a word processor. And a little later, after she just typed that prayer out, a lady called her and said, Lou, this one friend of mine I've been praying for, and she won't even talk to me about God. And she had in her heart, like Arsha had for her, because she knew that lady was dying and going to hell. And she said, you know, I just typed out a prayer. Said it's got a place in it where Thurman said, right here, put a blank here and put whosoever name in this you want to. She said, let's pray this prayer of authority and power and break the power of the devil.
Let me read this to you. I had no intention of it being answered necessarily. I just, let me read it to you.
Oh, okay.
That's how powerful it is.
She said, let me read this prayer to you.
Yeah, put her name in.
And put her name in the blank. Now, that prayer is on my tape, Spiritual Warfare. And she prayed that prayer and put that girl's name in her. And as you just heard her say, I really didn't have any knowledge that it was really going to work.
Well, just reading it to her.
But she just read the prayer and put the girl's name in her, which broke the power of the devil in that girl's life. And she hung the phone up, and in just a little while, within an hour, 15 minutes, the lady called and said, Lou, you're not going to believe what happened. The lady we just prayed for and broke the power of the devil in her life that wouldn't talk to me about Jesus just called and said, tell me everything you know about Jesus.
Oh, yeah. All right.
Is that awesome or is that awesome? But you know, when you've learned how to do this...
She told me before, though, and she had been trying to tell you, why haven't you told me?
But see, the thing about it is, if you have a loved one that will not accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, the Word tells you who the problem is. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3 and 4, it says that if there any be lost on this earth, they're lost because the God of this world, which is Satan, blinds their mind to the blessed gospel. So if that's true, and if there's any lost, and there's a lot of lost people, and we know who blinds their minds, it's the devil. So if we know Luke 10, 20, then 19 and 20, where Jesus said, "Behold, I give unto you authority and power over Satan and his demons. All power is given to you over them. They shall in no wise hurt you. And be not thankful that these evil spirits have to be subject to you, but rather be thankful your name is written in heaven." What kind of power is that? That's awesome, isn't it? So you catch yourself up in the spirit. You do your spiritual warfare. You break the power of the devil over these people's lives. And when you do, they come into the kingdom of God and get saved. You know, I've done that so many times. I've seen people on drugs, alcohol. I mean, in fact, this little lady right here. Would you mind telling us what happened to your son last week?
No.
Come up here. This is one of my newest people that I just went. This little lady, I never seen this little lady in my life. In fact, I had never seen her until today. But this little lady called me one day last week. I let her tell you what she asked me to do.
Bonnie gave me your name and your number and told me that you could heal my son. My son was paralyzed in a horrible accident about a year and a half ago. And since that time, he's been self-medicating with every kind of psychotropic medication, cocaine, alcohol, amphetamines, methamphetamines, everything to dull his pain. And he had turned away from his family. He was living in anger. And I asked Thurman if he would go talk to him. At the time, I prayed that Jason would even let him in the house because I didn't know that he would. He certainly didn't let us in the house. But Thurman went over there and spent about, well, I think he got there between 7 and 7:30 and he left about 1:30 in the morning. And Jason told me that he had never met a man as smart as Thurman in his life and that he was okay with God and he has not had drugs since, and that's been about 2 weeks ago. He's going to walk.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. He hasn't yet, but he's going to walk, and he believes he's going to walk.
Amen. Amen. There's a man back there with great faith. Praise the Lord. I love it. That little boy, only thing I had to do, that little boy, that 22-year-old young man, down there and tell him who the enemy was.
Yeah.
It's the devil. And tell him how much God loved him and show him in the Word what God will do for him if he'll walk holy before him. And I showed him and told him some of the miracles I've seen the King do. And that little boy confessed his sins that night. He wanted to get right with God. And I said, "Son, if you'll get right with God and you'll walk with him, I guarantee he'll deliver you from drugs and you will never have to have another one. And if you'll walk holy before the King, it won't be long." I said, "If you'll listen to this stack of video and audio tapes I give you, when your faith gets built mountain high, you call me and I'll come back down here and I'm going to lay hands on you. And the Jesus I know is going to put your spinal cord back together and you're going to get up and walk. And I'm with you, sir. He's going to run." The King we serve, nothing is impossible with Him. According to your faith, be it done unto you.
Amen.
See, I love to hear these kind of testimonies. Our King is an awesome God.
Yes.
Now then, is there anybody here today that needs to be prayed for to be healed?
Right here.
Okay, come up here. Let's get this young lady right here first. Let's bring this young lady down here first.
Yes.
Bring her down here. She's in a wheelchair. We got a lady back here in a wheelchair. Bring this lady back down here in the name of Jesus. That's all right. Now then, I want one verse. I want somebody to read a verse before we pray for this precious young lady. I want somebody to read Matthew chapter 8, verse 16 and 17 out loud to me. Somebody read that. The Lord says, come to Him how? By faith. In other words, come to Him by His Word. When the Lord... How long have you been like this? In this wheelchair?
About 2 or 3 years.
Two or three years, okay.
I think.
Matthew chapter 8, verse 16. What does it Matthew 8, 16 say? When evening was come.
Yeah.
When evening was come.
They brought to him many who were demon possessed. And he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick.
Wait a minute. Let's get that now. He done what? With a word, he cast out the spirit.
Spirit with a word.
And then healed all the... How many of the sick?
All
the sick. And then what does verse 17 say?
That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses.
Wait a minute. If Jesus himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses and removed them, then why do you have to sit in that wheelchair?
I don't think we should. I should.
Absolutely, you shouldn't. If Jesus bore your sickness and he removed your diseases,
he took them 2,000 years ago.
If Jesus took them and bore them, then you shouldn't have them. So guess who's putting them on you?
The devil.
The enemy. What did Jesus say we could do to the enemy?
Rebuke him in his name.
And he'd have to leave, right?
That's right.
In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, Satan, I command this demon that's bound this precious woman to get out of her body and to leave her now. In the name of Jesus. And you go to the pit of hell and you stay there and don't you ever come back to her ever again in the name of Jesus. Because Jesus himself bore her sickness and removed her disease on the cross 2,000 years ago. In the name of Jesus. Do you believe that?
Yes, I do.
Then thank him for healing you.
Thank you, Jesus.
Say, Lord, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Look up and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for healing me. Say, Lord, thank you.
Thank you.
Take my hand, stand up, and let's walk off here, girl. Come on. Come on, stand up in the name of Jesus. Come on, stand up. Come on, stand up and walk. Come on, don't say you can't now. Take that step. Come on, you can do it in the name of Jesus. Say, Lord, thank you. Thank you, Lord, that I can stand up. Say, thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. I can do it. Thank you, Lord. Come on, in the name of Jesus. I command them legs to be strong. Come on, in the name of Jesus. Satan, I rebuke you, you devil. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke you, you beast. Say, thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Come on. Take a step. Come on, in the name of Jesus. Take a step.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Come on, Father. In the name of Jesus. Come on. Come on. In the name of Jesus. Come on. Come on, Lord. Thank you and praise you, Father. Thank you for healing her. Thank you that you did this for this lovely lady on the cross 2,000 years ago. Bring that leg out there, Satan. I rebuke you and I command you to take your hands off of her in the name of Jesus. I command it in Jesus' name. Now come on, Father, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for healing her. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for healing her on the cross 2,000 years ago. We worship you, Lord. We praise you and we thank you. Thank you for healing her. Come on, in the name of Jesus. We worship you and we praise you. Come on, in the name of Jesus. Let's walk. Come on, step that step out there. Say, thank you, Lord, that you healed me on the cross. Thank you, Jesus. 2,000 years ago it was done for me. So I worship you and I praise you and thank you that I'm healed. I believe it. It's done because it is written. It's written in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you and praise you for healing me. Glory to your holy name, Father. Come on, the legs are getting stronger. Let's come on. In the name of Jesus.